This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 48.
Because I figure that it's easier to do two or three deals in different markets than doing 10 deals in one market.
Yeah, so you're taking a wide versus deep approach, right? You're just it basically cherry picking the best deals of different markets?
It's just going after the low-hanging fruits because I like easy and fast.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
All right, my friends, let's get rocking here. If you've never joined us here on the Flip Empire Show, I want to welcome you. My name is Alex Pardo, and I'm absolutely pumped and excited to be coming at you with another masterclass expert interview here. And I kind of want to just set the table here before I introduce our guest, which is Chaim Maman. This is actually somewhat of an interesting story. This is the first time that Chaim and I have ever communicated or really spoken before. We have a lot of mutual friends in the real estate investing industry. And I reached out to him because Chaim and I are part of a Facebook group, which I highly encourage you guys to check out and join. It's the Wholesaling Houses Full-Time Facebook group. And I pop in there every now and then, and I just kind of, you know, keep a finger on the pulse as to what's going on and what people are doing across the country in their business. And Chaim is somebody who his name just continued to come up on the Facebook group. And he was always someone that was chiming in, adding value. And on top of that, he was somebody that was posting a lot of pictures. I saw him and his family just constantly traveling. And you can tell when somebody communicates about this business or when they answer questions, you know if the person knows what they're talking about. And Chaim is somebody that just kind of jumped out at me. And I'm like, this is somebody that I want to reach out to and see if I can get him on the show, because not only is he somebody that, you know, he's talking the talk, but he walks it, right? He's somebody who's, he's out there traveling with his family. He enjoys a virtual lifestyle because of the business he set up. And so I spoke to him briefly before the call, and, you know, we were talking about how can him and I deliver as much value and content to you, the listener, as possible. And one of the things, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Chaim in a second here, but one of the things we're going to be focusing on today is Chaim's virtual wholesaling business. So he operates out of San Francisco, and he got started in this business, I believe, in 2013. And since then, he's done well over 200 real estate transactions. And what's really cool is that about a year ago, so at this point, September 2015, he was able to quit his full-time job. And now he's a full-time real estate investor and does deals in multiple markets, all from living in San Francisco. So that's the beauty of this business, is understanding that if there's a particular lifestyle you want, this business is a fantastic vehicle to get you to where you want to go. And Chaim is living proof of that. So Chaim, man, I appreciate you you coming on. Hopefully I didn't mispronounce your name.
No, that was great. And thank you for the kind words for the introduction. I'm very honored to be here on your show.
Yeah, man. No, it's great to have you, man. And again, I really appreciate you contributing value to the Facebook group. And I think, you know, your story is very interesting, and I know people are really gonna, it's going to resonate with people. So I kind of gave a little bit of a brief introduction there, about you and your business and where you come from, but tell us if you can kind of fill in some of the missing holes, how'd you get started in this business? And then we can kind of take it from there.
Sure. Initially, my goal was to have enough rentals, enough passive income, so I can quit my job. And after 2 or 3 years, I realized that this is a slow process, and it's not going to take a year or so to get to where I want to be, which is really to quit my job. So I quickly realized that building a rental portfolio, it's not the way to go for me, and I have to find another way to generate quick money and capital so I can live my desired lifestyle, which would be to travel and spend more quality time with my family, and to do it from anywhere in the world. And this is how I found out about virtual wholesaling. So purchased a lot of courses, studied, and sure enough, after a year or so, I was able to start to do deals virtually from San Francisco in another market. And this is how I started this journey of real estate.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people talk about virtual wholesaling and the lifestyle as a real estate investor, but you're, you know, not often do you see people actually living it, and you're living proof, you know, that this business can be done if you set it up with the right systems in place, if you have the right people and the right team members in place, anything is possible, anything and everything is possible. And so, I appreciate you sharing that. And one of the things I kind of want to piggyback, what you mentioned here just a minute ago was that you knew what kind of lifestyle you wanted to live. And I think that's kind of the first step that a lot of people miss, is that they jump into this business and they start chasing all these different niches, whether it's fix and flip or wholesale or this or that, but they haven't taken the time to really think about what it is they want their life to be and look like. And until you figure that part out, that will direct which path in real estate you should go. Because as you know, Haim, there's a lot of different directions you can go in.
Absolutely. And I think the key is to start with the end goal in mind.
Bingo.
And that's what I did. Making money, everybody wants to make money, right? I knew that I want to spend time with my family. I want to take my kids to school every day and to be there at lunch and have lunch with them and have a coffee break with my wife in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I love to travel the world, and I would love to travel and spend at least 2 months out of the year in Israel with my extended family. Mm-hmm. And I tried to figure out what kind of business I can come up with. I knew that real estate is a great vehicle to get there. But if I want to do like fix and flip, I have to be on the project site and then overseeing contractors and see the progress. And I quickly realized that virtual wholesaling is the way to go to support my design lifestyle. Again, if this is my design lifestyle, it doesn't mean that it worked for anyone. Mm-hmm. And this is how I started, just with the end goal in mind, and I started to build backward.
Love it. So yeah, man, I mentioned you were able to quit your job September 2015. So hats off to you, man. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Talk to us how you were able to bridge the gap, because I believe you mentioned to me that you got started in 2013. And so it took about, 2 years until you could, you know, we talked about some of your ups and downs, and it took you about 2 years from the time you got started into the point where you can actually quit your job. How'd you bridge that gap? And let's kind of keep the listener in mind, because I think there's a lot of people that were in your shoes, or that are in your shoes, in the shoes that you were in. In terms of, man, I'm trying to get traction here. I want to leave my 9-to-5. I don't like what I'm doing, but they're kind of banging their head against the pavement and they haven't been able to really gain that momentum that they need. How were you able to get from point A to point B?
First of all, to be honest with everyone, it was a struggle for me. And I didn't have a bad job. I had a great job. And that sometimes even makes it harder. I have a great job. I have a good salary. I was well respected. And that's what made it even harder to leave a great place. And what I was doing, I was just building the business while I was still working my 9-to-5 job, which was a great job, but not fulfilling. I wasn't fulfilled. And I started to build it while working my 9-to-5 job. And starting to do one deal here and there, and then it started to become more consistent. I was starting to do a deal or two per month consistently. And for about a year, I was struggling if I should quit my job. There's a lot of fear because I had a family that I need to support. Mm-hmm. And I had benefits, and everybody told me how great I am where I worked. But I still knew that something is missing. Until at one point I figured that, listen, I'm making much more money doing one or two deals per month than working full-time job, and I don't spend time with my family, and I need to ask for time off. And when I need to stay home, I need to call my boss, which was a great boss. I didn't hate my job. I didn't hate my boss. I just didn't want to be in a position to report to someone and to have somebody to determine my value. And it was the day that I said enough is enough. I was making enough income to support my family, and decided to jump. And that's probably was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
Yeah, man, I commend you. And the word that really jumps out at me is the word sacrifice. Because there's a lot of people in your shoes that, you know, they have families to support, and that's what stops them from taking that leap of faith. And, you know, to a certain degree, I can certainly understand, because you have to put food on the table and your family comes first. And a lot of people, you know, are not willing to take that risk and that leap of faith to go pursue their dreams. And a lot of people end up, you know, one thing leads to the other, and you look back and 10 years have gone by and you're still in the same job, or you're still doing something you don't like doing. So I really commend you for, you know, going after, you know, your goals and your dreams. And look, man, I mean, look back to where you started and where you are now. It's hopefully an inspiration for people out there that want to leave their job to start doing this business. So when you were working full time, how many hours a week were you committing to the real estate investing business?
I'd say like 4 to 5 hours a day on top of my 9 to 5 job, which really was more like a 9 to 6 job. So, and between 6 and 8, I was again playing with my kids and spending time with the family. So I was starting my real estate quote unquote job after the kids went to bed, from 8 p.m. Sometimes I would stay until 2 a.m. I would wake up very early in the morning before the kids wake up and just getting some work in, because I was working in other markets. So the time zone was working to my advantage, because mm-hmm. I'm on the West Coast and I was doing virtual wholesaling in Central Time in Memphis. Okay. So I had like 2 hours. It was 6 a.m. here, so I was still able to make phone calls. So it was a lot of sacrifice for sure. There was no TV, a lot of reading. But that's, again, there is no progress with no struggle. So,
right. Yeah. So what were some of the actions that you were taking, you know, once the kids went to bed and you started working, you know, in your real estate business from 8 to sometimes 2 in the morning, what were some of the things you were doing initially to kind of get the business off the ground? Because I find that that's where a lot of people struggle and have a hard time getting things going.
Yeah. So I was investing in myself first. I realized that that knowledge is power. To a degree, you need to realize that there is a time that you need to stop buying courses.
I'm glad you said that.
and you need to start to implement. It took me the hard way, because I was in the mode of buying courses and studying. And I realized that I'm going nowhere. So until I decided I don't buy any more courses, I start to implement. And I would just start to do mailings. I was setting up systems. I was sending a lot of emails. I was making a lot of phone calls to establish relationships with agents, because initially 80% of my deals came from MLS leads and not from mailers. So that was the main thing, building relationships with agents and property managers. And then the second phase will start to do mailing and hiring virtual assistants and expanding the business, because I was a one-man show for a while before taking it to the next step, which is start to hiring people to work for me.
Yeah, there's so many key takeaways in what you just said. And the first thing, and I'm so glad you said that, you know, you started off by saying that knowledge is power, which I agree with. And then you followed it up, because I was about to jump in and you beat me to it, is there comes a point where you never stop acquiring and seeking knowledge, right? But so many people, you know, that it's a crutch so that they don't have to actually go out there and put themselves in a position that, you know, they either might succeed or fail. And so many people let that fear stop them. And they said, well, I'll just stick here and I'll just keep acquiring knowledge, but not doing anything. And then they wonder why they don't have any success. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm working with a new coaching student as of the last week or so. And, you know, he was someone that was falling into that trap of just going from course to event to course to book to this to that. And I told him, and he says that makes a lot of sense. And it's nothing groundbreaking, but it's the education is going to come from the actual doing, right?
Yes.
You're going to learn
yes.
so much more by sending out your first mailing campaign and getting the responses back, start making calls. You're going to learn 10 times more in 20, 30 phone calls you make than in going through an entire course on how to speak to sellers.
Absolutely. You need to fail fast and fail forward. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what does your business look like today? Like right now, how many markets are you in? And then actually, I want you to drill down into some of the things that are working best for you to generate leads and to do deals.
Sure. Right now, I'm mainly in Memphis, Tennessee. That's my main market. This is where I started. And now I'm just starting to do in New Orleans. And my goal is to go to other markets, because I figure that it's easier to do two or three deals in different markets than doing 10 deals in one market.
Yeah. So you're taking a wide versus deep approach, right? You're just, is it basically cherry picking the best deals of different markets?
It's just going after the low hanging fruits, because I like easy and fast.
I don't blame you, brother.
So, and I figure it just takes more time, more mailings to get 10 deals in one market as opposed to just cherry pick the low hanging fruits in multiple markets. So that's the vision. That's where I'm going. But right now I'm mainly in Memphis, Tennessee, and just started in New Orleans.
Okay. Can you walk us through the process that you take when you're trying to figure out what market you want to get into? Like, how did you decide on Memphis? And then now, kind of a part two to that question is, how did you end up deciding on New Orleans? So maybe if you can walk us through whatever steps you take to analyze and figure out if that's a market that you want to get into.
Yes. So first of all, Memphis, I end up there by luck, really. There was no analysis. I was just acquiring rental properties after I ran out of cash, because after buying two properties in California, I had no more money. I was buying like with conventional loans. So I was looking for other cash flow markets, lower valued properties, and I end up with Memphis. So, but Memphis is really good market moving forward. I like to be in cash flow market, quote unquote. So cash flow market, anything with property value under $150,000. So that's the way I look at good markets. It has to be a market with a large metropolitan area, usually above million people in population. I also want to see that there's a lot of cash transactions, investors activity in that market. So I will go to a lead source of find cash buyers now, and I will look at the data when I compared market to market. And I want to see a lot of cash transactions. And the other thing that I'm looking at, I want to see inventory. I want to see a lot of inventory, because if I'm in a very competitive market, I know that there will be a lot of competition. So I want to see a lot of cash transactions from investors. I want to see large inventory.
Yeah.
So that's the three things. Big market, cash flow market with property value usually under $150,000 would be the median, or even lower than that. Cash transaction and large inventory.
And you mentioned using ListSource to figure out where a lot of the cash buyer investor activity is happening. If you guys haven't seen that video I created, just go to flipempire.com/resources. If you scroll down towards the middle on the left-hand side, there's a short, maybe 10-15 minute video I recorded there that walks you through how for free you can jump on ListSource and you can figure out what are the top zip codes in your market that have a lot of this cash buyer investor activity that Haim's talking about. Haim, man, having said that, now that you figured out what market you're going to jump into, and I know you mentioned that Memphis just kind of happened to be by luck because that's where you were already buying cash flow properties. What's the next step if you've never done deals in a market, you don't know anybody in a market? I'm putting myself in the position of somebody who might want to do this business virtually, and let's say they identify a big metropolitan city, cash flow properties under 150 grand with a lot of cash buyer investor activity. What are the next few steps that you took from there?
So now it should be to dig to identify the most active zip codes within this city, because that's where you want to focus your efforts. So I have three main strategies right now that works for me. One is leads from the MLS. believe it or not, but I'm working on the shotgun approach. I have a virtual assistant that submits close to 50 offers per day. And anything that matches my criteria in the specific zip code, the type of property that I want, they have a very specific and clear instructions on what to offer, how to run the numbers, and they just send the offer directly from Podio. So that's one source of leads. Second is the easiest, again, the easiest one for me to scale is direct mail. Mm-hmm. And just picking a niche list, targeting this again specific zip codes where you know that buyers are buying, and doing direct mail. And three is having a bear dog system. When I have bear dogs driving around neighborhoods and basically driving from dollars, but in a very systematic approach, and they do that, they submit everything to Podio, and my VA skip trace the leads, and from there again everything is happens in the background. We're sending direct mail, we making phone calls and sending emails and just making things happen once we get it. So that's the main three lead sources that I use right now. And I have some type of a partnership with somebody that do online marketing for me as well. But that's not something that it's again in full force yet.
Got it. Okay. So a couple of things I want to do a little bit of a deep dive on. First thing is, you mentioned your virtual assistant. Right now, this business, is it just you and your virtual assistant, right?
No. It's me. I have two virtual assistants. I have a acquisition person in each market, which is the boots on the ground. And I have an inside sales rep. It's the person that takes all the incoming calls, and they're also making outbound calls as well.
Okay, so got it. And have you had these people in place for ever since you quit your full-time job and you were full-time, or did you have these people in place even while you were working your job?
The VA I had while I was working my job, it's the same people that are still with me. It's two brothers out of the Philippines. The inside sales rep, again, it's a new one. I had one and I had to let them go, and I'm just in the process of hiring a new person. And the acquisition person is the one that was with me from the get-go.
Okay. Your virtual assistant, because I think this is going to be especially helpful for those people that are looking into virtual wholesaling and they want to get involved in another market. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind me asking, where did you find them and how much do you pay?
Sure. Initially, I was hiring through Elance, which used to be, again, and now I think it's Upwork. I went through a lot of trial and error before finding a good virtual assistant. And it got to a point that I just hired a company to find a virtual assistant for me. It's called the Find Virtual Staff, or, again,
right. Yep.
Or what's the... Find Virtual Staff is basically a hand-to-hand company that they will do all the screening. They will bring three candidates for you to interview, and you can select the right one for you. So this is how I found the best VA, and he brought his brother. So it was like a price for two for one.
Yeah, it's VSF. If you guys want to check out the company Haim's talking about, go to flipempire.com/staff. And like Haim mentioned, they'll actually pre-screen, they'll find some candidates for you, and they'll essentially do a lot of the front-end legwork that you may not have the time to do or even know how to do. Now, I think they charge maybe $300-$500 or whatever it is, but they'll find you a really, really good real estate VA. And so at least that's been my experience.
Yes, and I pay them $400 per month for full-time.
$400 a month for full time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Now, you mentioned to me that your first lead source is the MLS, and you have them sending what, 40, 50 offers a day?
Yes.
How did you simplify it to train them on what to look for and what to offer. Because I've kind of been down that road where I've trained virtual assistants on sending offers, and I have my lead managers do that now. But I remember at first when I first started hiring and training VAs, at least for me personally, it was a little bit of a challenge and a struggle training them on how to comp a property and a simple, easy way for them to just go ahead and send out offers. How did you train your VA to know what to offer and how to go about that process?
So two things is A is training is and B is the tools to give them to make it simple for them. So the training was spending time with them and showing them how to comp a property, how to look for the ARV, what is a good comparable sales. And I did it with doing videos and like comping like 10 properties for them with again and screen capture the video and having them watch it and ask questions. And then I was doing with them few properties to make sure they got it. And they will never get it as good as you do it. But if they get it 70% of what you do, it's good enough.
That's right.
So it will never be perfect. But if you want to scale, you need to let it go and let them make mistakes. And the key is to be in the neighborhood of a good offer. And the second piece is just to build an MLS offer app for them that calculate the average of the three comps, calculate repairs, estimate repairs. They have like three categories, like light rehab, mid rehab, and heavy rehab. And once they click, based on the square footage of the property, it's calculate a repairs estimate. And it's not super accurate, but it's good enough to get an offer out. And that's it. And again, and they upload in Podio. There's one click that it's attached a proof of funds, a bank statement to the email. And with another click, they just send the offer. It's basically just investing time in the training up front and then letting them run with it. And there was a time when there was enough inventory. They were doing like 800 offers per month, 200 per week. Right now, we can't hit these numbers because there is no inventory, not because we don't have the capability to do it.
Yeah.
It's just because, and that's why I want to go to multiple markets because I have the personnel, I just don't have the inventory.
So Got it.
Makes more sense to go wide.
And Haim, obviously, so your virtual assistant is not running comps. If they're sending 50 offers a day, I would imagine obviously they're not running comps on every single property. Is the process just importing an Excel spreadsheet into your Podio and Podio spits out the offers based on, like you said, you know, calculating? What's the process exactly and how they actually, like, how did you set up the system so that the offers, you're able to send out 50 offers a day?
So they go into three online sources to get an estimate for the ARV. So and if there is any question, they're just gonna dig that deep and go to Zillow recent sale, not the Zestimate, the recent sales. And again, at least in Memphis, there is good data and they have good information about properties that were sold in the last 3 months. So I can get pretty good comps from Zillow. So if there's like three good comps that were sold in the last 3 months, same number bedroom and bathroom, more or less the same square footage, I'm just have them put the information in Podio and it will calculate the ARV based on the comps.
Okay. So they actually do, they're going property by property, checking those two to three different sources and inputting the information into Podio.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Yes. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was kind of like an offer bot type of feature where you just, you upload a list and then based off of that, it calculates what the offer is going to be.
No. They invest a little bit more time in just looking at each property at a time.
What are the sources that you have them check out? You said the Zillow recent sales and what other, because sometimes people have a hard time getting access to the MLS. So right. I think it'll be good insight so that they know what are some of the resources that you use to evaluate some of these properties.
Sure. One of them is iComps.com.
iComps, like the letter I and then comps.com?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good one. I use Total View. I think, let me just get you the... It's Total View Real Estate It gives you three numbers. Is the total view, real estate numbers, then it go appraisal, and then it gives Zestimate. So in one place you get like three different numbers, and you can, between these four sources, I have them take the average of the lowest three.
Okay, and that's totalviewrealestate.com?
Yes.
Okay, iComps and Zillow.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, in total view, it will give you three numbers, the total view real estate, appraisal, and Zillow. It will give you like in one website, it will give you the three numbers in one shot. So it's just more efficient process, if you will.
Got it. Okay, awesome. And then the second thing you mentioned, which I absolutely love, is direct mail. And one thing that really jumped out at me is you said, you know, especially if you're going to be a virtual wholesaler, direct mail is one of the best ways to scale. Even if you're just doing this in your backyard, what are some of the specialty niche list, if you don't mind kind of peeling back the curtain, what are some of the best lists that you've targeted in, and how did you go about getting these lists?
Sure. So one of them, everybody going after the absentee owner, high equity. But I always, almost to all of my lists, I add the age.
Yep. 55 plus years of age, or do you use higher?
Yes. I will start with 65 and older. And if there is not enough leads, I will just go to 55 and older. Mm-hmm. But the older, the better.
I agree. Yeah, it's you know, I think I mentioned this on a previous show that I did. I forget with who, where we took inventory and stock of all the deals we've closed in the last 2-3 years. And 97-98% of the deals we closed were with people that were over the age of 50.
That's right. Yeah. The senior lists are the best ones.
Yeah. Are there any other filters that you're adding to your list, or is it just absentee, high equity, plus the age filter?
I do add, again, I will not go sometimes, if you want like a quick tip, I will not go to 100% equity. Sometimes I will be in the 80 to 90 or 70 to 90, because everybody going after the 100%. And if there is at least, again, a property with 80% equity, it's still good enough to make money.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's how you just separate yourself. And also something that it's, I love owner occupied, high equity, older people. If you want, again, a quick tip that's really sharing, it's just to add square footage to this list. So if you go to high equity, owner occupied, two stories, or above 1,500 square foot, that's basically needs that you may have an older person who it's too big of a house. They want to downsize. They want to move closer to the kids. They can't take the stairs anymore. So that can be a sweet list.
That's right. Another list you guys can try out in terms of using filters. And honestly, when you're sending direct mail, the money's in the list. And then obviously it's the second part of that equation is the money's in the follow-up. And you got to be consistent with your mailers. So I know I threw a lot at you there, but one of the things I wanted to highlight was test out and try different filters. And I don't know what you're using, Chaim. We use Listability. We also use ListSource. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we kind of bounce back and forth between the two, and we're always testing. And one of the things that we're in the process, we're going to try a campaign now where we're only targeting two-bedroom properties. Yes. That have a certain level of square footage, which means that you could add, you know, Absolutely. You can add a bedroom, and then there's potentially value there, because a lot of investors are really only looking for the bread and butter, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom and up. So that's kind of a way to, you know, zig when people are zagging, so to speak.
Exactly. That's a great tip.
Yeah. And are you using click to mail or what service are you using to send out your mail?
I do use, again, a service that it's integrated with my Podio. I think it's a group, integral group something. Again, I'm not sure, but they have very competitive rates. I do use from time to time, click to mail. And sometimes I use Go Big Printing as well.
Okay. Okay. And then the last part I wanted to ask you about is in terms of just, you know, lead generation, because that's such a hot topic, and it's, you know, people need to understand that we're in the real estate business, but we're really in the marketing and people business. So mm-hmm. I always try to highlight and brainstorm on different ways to generate leads. You mentioned bird dogs, man.
Yes.
Admittedly, this is an area where I have had a struggle and my team has had a challenge building the right bird dog platform, not platform, but the system, right? So, you know, at first we'd place an ad on Craigslist and we'd have 50, 100 people apply. And then all of a sudden we realized that we're having hundreds of leads, quote unquote, submitted to us, but they're not really leads, right? There's like, these properties are listed, or there's just an address and no contact information. And then we built out some training for these bird dogs. And honestly, we still had a little bit of a challenge getting mm-hmm. it going. How have you had some success getting the right bird dog sending you the right kind of leads? And maybe if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yes, actually, again, I'm working on a product because I feel that there is a big need in this area and I think I can bring value. So, but I can share what I do. So,
okay,
I will have very specific instructions for the bear dog on what to do and what is considered qualified lead. So obviously we're going after the usual suspects: vacant properties, boarded up, high grass, full mailbox, all of that, and have them take picture of the property. So they have to take a picture of the property and they have to have a screenshot from the phone with the home snap.
Okay.
So it's a requirement. And then they have a web form, a Podio web form, when they upload the information, the pictures and the address of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they will get paid per lead. Again, some people using the Burdock system, they pay them only if we close on the deal. And this is how you lose a lot of Burdocks, because they will figure that they're submitting hundreds of leads, but they never close on it. So yeah. I would just pay them per lead,
okay,
per qualified lead. So, and then I will not have them do all the research about a property. I will have my VA do all the research on the property. So this helps also. So the VA will go to the Skip Trace company to get the owner information, the assessor website link. They will put the contact information and the email address of the owner.
Your virtual assistant does this,
not the bird dog.
Yeah.
The bird dog just driving around, they're taking pictures and bringing qualified leads with addresses. That's where the job is ended.
Okay. How much do you pay them per lead?
I pay them $2 per lead.
$2 per lead. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they can get, I have somebody who brings me like 50 per day. So that's $100 per day. That's not bad if they're doing 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And is your virtual assistant skip tracing these leads, Haim?
Yes. Every single one of them.
Okay. All right. Okay. You know, well, right there, that's something that, you know, personally, I'm going to take away. There's a handful of things that you've mentioned, but that's one of the things that I'm really going to take away, because that's one thing we haven't done in terms of paying per lead up front. And I can see how that would motivate someone versus getting $1,000 to $2,000 when the deal closes, knowing that we can close deals if it's a motivated seller, right? But they don't know that. And so, like you said, they're sending in a bunch of leads, but they're not getting paid for who knows how long.
Right.
So,
and
got it.
This way, they're getting every week, they're getting a payment. They mm-hmm. We're just doing accounts. We're going running a report in Podio. How many leads this bird dog brought to us? They generate an invoice. We send them a check, and they're happy. We're happy, and just keep going.
How many bird dogs do you have right now sending you leads?
I have right now two, but the goal is to have a bird dog per zip code. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to have at least 10 per market, because I think this is, you have less competition, and as you know, direct mail, everybody doing.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, listen, we are going to start to kind of wind down here. So I want to end with maybe one or two more questions, and then we'll get you out of here. What's the one piece of advice you would give your 25-year-old self? So I'm not sure how old you are. You don't have to say, but if you rewind the clock, what would you give you know, what advice would you give yourself maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Start to invest in real estate. The sooner the better. I just started in when I was 35-ish. And I think that's the way to go. Start investing in real estate, take action. And again, less education, more action.
There you go. Less education, more action. What about knowing what you know now? Rewind 3 years ago. 3 years ago, you got started in this business. Fast forward, you've done over 200 deals. You quit your job, you know, September 2015. What would you tell yourself 3 years ago as you were getting started in this business? Would it be the same advice?
The biggest one I would say, expand quicker, hire quicker.
What do you mean by that? If you could elaborate a little bit.
Yes. One of the easiest way to expand is just to have, is just to outsource and delegate. And I wasn't doing it, and especially when you work a full-time job and you do everything yourself, it's very hard to scale. Mm-hmm. You can't do more than a deal or two per month. But it's if you manage the time of your VAs and the people who worked for you, and you manage it with KPI, with key performance indicator, mm-hmm. You can grow much quicker. So if you can, and if you have the financial means to hire quicker, so I would go and hire VA as soon as possible, and a lead manager, the person who takes all the phone calls as soon as possible.
Yeah. It's you know, I actually, if I could go back, because I hired a virtual assistant and then I jumped to an acquisitions manager and a sales manager, and I realized I was spending all this time on the phone. I said, man, I need to hire like a lead manager, somebody to get me off of the phone, because you start sending out several thousand mailers a week / a month, you're going to have calls coming in. It's going to take up quite a bit of your time.
I think that's the first position that people need to hire. It's the person who takes more, that can buy you the most time. And that's the phone person, at least for me. The person on the phone can text at least 3 to 4 hours a day, if not more.
Your opinion, Chaim, last question for you, man. Your opinion, if somebody has, let's just say $500 a month, right? That's the amount of money that they have to put towards this business. Would you say it's worth, and they have a job? I'll give you that stipulation. This person has a job. They have $500 a month they can put towards this business, and they have 15, 20 hours a week they can put into this. Would you recommend they take and spend $400 a month so that they have a virtual assistant in place while doing certain things while they're working, and then maybe spend the remaining $100 on whatever? Or would you advise that person take the $500 and maybe put it all into marketing, whatever that might be?
That's a tough one. I will invest more in virtual assistant, because virtual assistant can generate leads as well.
There you go. We're on the same page. I wanted to see, because I always like, maybe you have a different perspective. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think it really just depends on the investor, but that's exactly why I feel it should be a virtual assistant, because that person can be on Craigslist for you. They can be on all these different sites generating leads for you.
Yes. That would be, again, I would say another stipulation is depends on your market too. If you're in a super competitive market, it's very hard to find deals from Craigslist and Zillow and from the MLS. It's just I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just much harder to find.
I think the biggest thing, and maybe this is a perfect note to end on here to kind of wrap up a lot of what you're talking about, is, you know, all this boils down, it's a pretty simple business, but don't spend, notice how at the top of the show, you know, Chaim mentioned how he pretty much immediately took action. I asked him what were some of the first things he did when he was working late at night on his real estate business while he still had his full-time job. And he talked about sending offers, making calls, building relationships with agents. And really, that's what this boils down to. It boils down to focus on lead generation, and then focus on sending offers and following up. And if you can get somebody on your team, like a virtual assistant, a lead manager, an acquisitions person, if you can just get that first person to help you with some of these components, you're going to see how much quicker you start to gain that momentum and start to pick up traction versus the person that you know, I talked to somebody not too long ago that they were spending all this time and energy trying to figure out how they wanted their logo to look. Yes. And they had established their limited liability company and all this stuff that is not going to put money in their pocket. Right.
Right.
And so it's send offer, generate leads, send offers and follow up and build relationships. So that's how I would end. I don't, if there's any other, you know, thoughts you have, but that, I think that's the best way to end, you know, everything that you've shared with us.
Absolutely. You just stick to the basics. And the basics is speaking with sellers, making offers, and building relationship with buyers and agents.
Yeah.
Podio is great, but it's a tool. Right. A logo is important, but it's not important initially. So I absolutely agree with you. It's all about the basics, which everything starts with speaking with sellers and making offers.
Awesome, brother. So, hey, man, any travel plans here coming up?
I don't know. We'll see. I was just 2 months traveling last summer, so we will stay local for a while, and maybe in December we'll go somewhere.
Well, that's cool, man. I know when I'm in the San Fran area, I'll definitely look you up. Where can people connect with you? What's the best place to reach out to you?
So I have a Facebook page, The Virtual Wholesaler Guy. It's a great place when I share tips with people about virtual wholesaling. And Haim Maman Palman on Facebook, that will be another place. But The Virtual Wholesaler page, the Virtual Wholesaler Guy, and Haim Maman on Facebook would be the best place.
Very cool. Yeah, man, we'll include that in the show notes page, guys, in addition to all the different websites and resources that Haim mentioned on the show. So it'll be in the show notes page of this episode over at flipempire.com. So, Haim, man, it's been good getting to know you, man. It's kind of funny that first time we talk is on this this podcast interview here, but it was good getting to know you and more about your business, and I appreciate you you just dropping the knowledge, man.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I know you and I will stay in contact. So everybody, I'm looking forward to connecting with you on the next Flip Empire show. So make sure to keep an eye out on your email. And if you can, definitely subscribe. And if you like the show, if you're getting value, I'd really appreciate a review and a rating. That'd be super cool. So talk to you guys soon. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.